Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all here as part of our fellow alumni from whatever school you went to. I happen to be a graduate of London College of Bible and Missions in the middle 60s, and they were incredible years for me. I've since headed the alumni group for that school, and so today my first request is to share with you regrets from those who couldn't be here with us today. There were many of our alumni friends who would love to be here but had other conflicting events today. I think of Dr. Grant Gordon, for example, who went to Gordon-Conwell Seminary after LCBM, and today he's there in Massachusetts celebrating his golden graduation year at that school. Wishes he could be here, as well as Dr. Terry Thiessen, who actually functioned as an academic dean here at OBC after his years of study. It's great to be able to share with you from my heart about what the school meant to me. The 4 years I spent at LCBM were formative and foundational in my personal life. See, I grew up as a pastor's kid. I was a PK. Therefore, you know that in the 50s, I would have gone to church every Sunday. Whether I wanted to or not, I went to Sunday school so frequently that I won awards for best attendance. And those were the years in which, as a growing up kid, I learned a lot about the Bible. I learned a lot about Jesus, but it was all up here, and it wasn't here. I was 19 years old before I actually committed my life to Jesus, and it was an incredible experience that changed my life. And now I had finished grade 13. I was working because I didn't know what I wanted to do or what I wanted to study. But as I then, now a follower of Jesus in every way, began to ask the Lord, what am I going to do? What do I find at the back of the church but a bulletin of a school called London College of Bible and Missions? And I said, well, Lord, if this is what you want for me, please open the door or close the door or whatever. So I applied, and believe it or not, they accepted me. And I went off to London, and I would like to share with you and kind of sing the praises of this school in the key of F. My first F is faith, because at this school, I found other students who love Jesus with all of their heart. I found faculty who wanted to help me follow Jesus with all of my heart, and in a way that I also, in addition to that wonderful heart relationship, use my brain to understand God's word and to be able to share God's word with other people. So I spent 3 years studying Greek and New Testament with Dr. Eckelbarger. I spent 2 years studying Hebrew and Old Testament with Dr. Donald Leggett. Many of you will have had good old Dr. Leggett as a teacher. And Professor David Bell, who is here today with us as my Christian education professor, as well as homiletics teacher. So I know I'm going to get an evaluation after I speak this morning. The wonderful years at this school. When I graduated, the verse that I chose for my graduation verse was from the Old Testament. It was a verse from Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 3. When God says to Jeremiah, call on me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. And I knew there were lots of things I didn't know. And that was the life verse I followed from that time on. And very soon, a New Testament verse became also my life story. From Hebrews chapter 12, where the writer of Hebrews says, since we've got all these wonderful faith people behind us as witnesses, run the race. Watch out for the sin that trips you up and faithfully persevere and run the race, keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. Wow. What more do you need in terms of walking the way of faith and persevering through years of challenge? So faith was what I developed and understood and learned in my 4 years at school. The second F is friendship. I made many incredible friends at school who are still my friends today. And there are people sitting in this room at the moment with whom I spent almost every classroom assignment or time in all the 4 years there. And today we have still become friends. And not just my class. It was those who had the same experience at that school and who had the same commitment to what the school was teaching us. Remember, the name of the school was called College of Bible and Missions. There was an incredible focus on mission and missions. We're talking the middle 1960s. And I remember Asia was the part of the world that was focused on in those years when we were at school. Those friendships continued on to this day and expanded beyond even those who were at school when I was there, but to those of you who went to school before and after. And now we have an alumni group who get together, the London group get together every 2 years. And next May is going to be our grand finale of reunions when the last class of 1968, the last class in London, will become golden milers. And when we get together, I often love just to stand back and watch. My wife says, it's amazing to see these people come. They come from us. Even the oldest class we've had was class of 1942. And this lady still lives in London. And she's planning to come next May from the class of 42 to the latest classes. And Diane always says to me, I love watching these people because they really love one another. It's not just the camaraderie of having been to the same school. There's something about the fact when we get together, it's the real essence of the body of Christ. And we experience that together in significant ways. The third F is family. And I'm talking about the nuclear family. Do you know why they call small family units nuclear family? Well, for me, it's because when it started, there was an explosion. I saw this beautiful creature at the school 55 years ago this month, and my heart just exploded. Her name was Diane Palmer. And I said to myself, wow, this is worth pursuing. And I pursued this lady. And in the Valentine's Day of 1964, I offered her a diamond, and she agreed to marry me. And in July of 65, we were married. By this time, she had graduated with her BRE and is already teaching school, and was able then to put me through school for the next 3 years, you see, as I went on to university in Detroit, Michigan. And Diane became my love, the essence of my nuclear family. And shortly we had a son, and with my name being Paul, what do you think I could call my son? I had no other choice but Timothy. And so we had our Timothy. And then came a daughter, and Diane's from Ukrainian background, and so we had a Tanya. And with Tim and Tanya, we set off on a mission to the Philippines for a dozen years and then 3 years in Singapore after that. We were there at the same time many of our colleagues were doing mission work who are even in this room today. I think of Jerry and Carol Brock. Jerry was the principal of the middle school where our kids went to school at Faith Academy. Carol was the nurse at the school who gave the shots to our kids, which they still remember, Carol. At that same time, I'm thinking my best buddy from studies, Bob Morris, with his wife Petey, were in Pakistan. Carl and Wilma DeBoer, who are here, were up in Japan. And the Thiessens, our closest friends, were just around the corner in the Philippines. And I hope I haven't left out any of you. Please forgive me if I have, but that era was an incredible era in our lives. But there was one thing that came along that changed our lives dramatically. I had studied Tagalog in the Philippines, and we love the Filipino people. And as Diane and I visited orphanages, they were filled with little girls. Filipinos, like most Asians, when they adopt, it's always a boy. The girls are left in the orphanage. We, after praying about it, decided to adopt a Filipina baby girl. And Melinda came into our family. Melinda in Spanish, or Tagalog, means beautiful. And she was a beautiful addition. It was always fun to go to the marketplace with our family. We had two kids who are blonde, as opposite of Filipinos as you can imagine. They used to pinch their cheeks because they loved touching little blonde kids. And I carrying this little baby in my arms while Diane did the shopping. And the tinderas who were selling things would say to me in Tagalog, "Why is that baby different?" And I'd say, "She's not different. I have dark hair." I actually did at one time. "I have dark eyes. She has dark hair. She has dark eyes." Then they would go, "But why is her nose different?" That's the ultimate Asian challenge, see? And I would say to them, "Because she was born in the Philippines." And they'd go, "Oh." And then, of course, we would tell her, "She is an adopted daughter." And they would say, "Oh, can you adopt me too? Can you adopt me too?" This was always the claim. Well, Melinda grew up in our family as if she was born in Canada. I mean, went to an English school, Faith Academy, was totally Anglo. And as a teenager, she experienced the same challenges I did as a teenager. Who am I? Where am I going? What is happening to me? And we recommended her to go to what at that time was Ontario Bible College. Mel, come on up, and let me say that when this young lady was younger, she was known as the daughter of Paul and Diane Estabrooks. Today, Diane and I are known simply as the parents of Melinda Estabrooks. Please welcome Melinda Estabrooks.
Thanks, Dad. So my dad was right. When I was in my teen years, it wasn't good years. I would say those were prodigal daughter years. And when I arrived on the steps at 25 Ballyconner 20 years ago with my suitcase full of shoes, and we like to think that maybe I was related to Imelda Marcos, and I was looking up at those windows of OBC, Ontario Bible College, I mean Tyndale, I was afraid and apprehensive and really scared. As an adopted child, you know, there is a bit of the struggle of identity. And who am I? You know, I'm brown and my mom's Ukrainian and, you know, I've got a big, balding, white father. And so you wonder where you're from. And so when I came to Canada in 1986, I was one of very few people of brown-colored skin. They actually thought that they didn't know what to do with me. And for the first time in my life, I experienced racism in my community in Mississauga. And so as I struggled as a young girl to figure out identity, I made some poor choices along the way. And so I had been a prodigal daughter, 1 foot in the church and 1 foot in Toronto in the downtown club scene, trying to find my way with Jesus. And here I was at Bible college, starting an entirely new chapter of my life. And nobody would have ever thought that I would be here at Tyndale. Even I couldn't believe that I was there too. But I really was at a crossroads in my life. And my parents and one of my best friends, who was attending Tyndale at the time, said to me, "Melinda, you are now at a critical moment of your life. The choices that you make now will determine the rest of your life and the trajectory in which way you are to go. It is time to reconnect with the Jesus who you listened to at Faith Academy in the Philippines, who your missionary parents taught you in the Far East broadcasting compound in the Philippines. The God that when you delivered and smuggled Bibles into China, people died and were persecuted for their faith. It is time to reconnect with that God who so loved the orphan baby, that he brought a young couple from London, Ontario, in full obedience and courage to go halfway around the world, do the work of God, and adopt the cutest, wisest, with the greatest potential little baby girl that they had ever known. It was time for reconnection. And so there I was, literally in a bodysuit, tight Jean-Paul Gaultier jeans, bright red lipstick, big hair, big gold hoop earrings, standing at the precipice of the unknown. But I knew I had to be there. There was something, and I believe the Holy Spirit was whispering, saying, this is the right thing to do. And you know, folks, I was scared. Would people accept me? Would they judge me? Would they be my friend? Would they include me? Would they look at me with someone with potential impossibility? Or would they look at me and discredit me and discount me for my past, for the poor and bad decisions I had made? And these were the questions that formed as I stood in front of this huge, ominous building. And I walked through those doors of Tyndale, and I have never been the same since. Now, I'll be honest. I didn't apply myself as I should have. I received my first fail ever from Professor Steve Thompson, and I spent more time playing foosball in the Katimovic than really I should be studying. But here's what happened. The more I did life at the college, the more that I opened myself up to trust people, these Christian young people learning and training to be the pastors and ministers and Christian leaders of Canada accepted me. They were wearing their beaver canoe track pants and sweatshirts and talking about small time Ontario and small farming towns. And here I was, a different, broken and loud and tired girl from all the running and fronting and managing this life, where I was really running from God because I was too afraid to face myself and realize that I was filling my life with all the distractions that the enemy and the world lures you to, but distracts you from the truth of Jesus. And here at Tyndale, I was accepted and loved and befriended and included, where, like Kevin said, I began to grow in a passionate faith, where the Tyndale ethos became a part of my life, where we encouraged learning and good debate and respectful discussion about Jesus, where we dreamed in the chapel about what the Church of Canada could become. And you know what? I was included in those conversations. I was included in a community that wanted the best for Canada, for the world to know the truth and the beauty and the wonder and the goodness of Jesus. You know, my parents always have said it was the best use of their money. Even though I failed a course or two, because the friends I made at OBC Tyndale are still my friends, my best friends today. These are the friends that supported me in the most life-changing mission trip right after school. These are the friends that prayed and saw me get my first real job as an adult at World Vision Canada. These are the friends that prayed and discerned my transition into Christian media with Lorna Duick, where I interviewed newsmakers from all over the world about Jesus with Listen Up TV, now called Context. These are the friends that cheered me on when I landed a co-hosting job on 100 Huntley Street, Full Circle, the first ever Canadian women's talk show on global TV across Canada, interviewing over 500 people, and yes, even Justin Bieber. These are the friends that faithfully prayed for me as I spoke at conferences and high schools and universities and retreats, sharing my story of redemption and adoption and grace. And these are the friends that threw a party when I launched my podcast, Your Story with Melinda, with Face Strong Today, and high-fived me when iTunes showed us and highlighted us as a new and upcoming faith resource to the world. And these are the friends that covered me with prayers and lifted me and championed me when I went through a very deep depression, when I found my birth mother, when I went through a difficult and painful divorce, when I changed jobs, when I found love again and remarried, and became a blended family. And these same friends from Tyndale 20 years ago are the ones who celebrated when this past March 8th, we launched for the first time in Canada, See, Hear, Love, a women's web show that highlights Canadian women and their stories that is now seen all over the world and is aired across Canada. And we have non-Christians and spiritual seekers writing us to say, who is this Jesus you talk about? Why do you love him? Why do you shine and are excited about life by being in relationship with him? Our largest demographic of watchers for this show are millennials, 25 to 35-year-olds who struggle with understanding church and the institution and the relationship with Jesus. And what an honor it is that Tyndale is sponsoring this show today. And when you have those kinds of friends, and I'm so thankful for Tyndale for this, who are rooted in Jesus, open and inclusive, non-judgmental, generous and kind, you can't help but be drawn to Jesus, to follow him, to study and know him, and then for me to commit my entire life to sharing him in media and broadcast, highlighting other people's stories, which essentially is his story interwoven in ours. You know, when I entered those doors at Tyndale some 20 years ago, I had no idea what God had in store for me. I stood there unqualified, different, insecure. I felt I was disqualified from anything that God would have me do, which is what and where exactly God wanted me. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And with a mom and dad who never ever stopped loving me, who never gave up on me and saw my potential when I couldn't, a college filled with people and faculty who became my tribe and community, and a God who was relentless for my life, and my decision to follow him wholeheartedly, here I am today. And folks, sometimes it takes my breath away. I'm thankful and wonder and awe that an orphan baby from the Philippines could be used by God to share the message of shalom, of hope and grace and possibility to the world. I love that Tyndale ethos, where each one of us have a deep desire to make a difference in the world, to deepen our faith. And so I need to thank you, Mom and Dad. Thanks for your obedience. Thanks for going to Tyndale those many years ago and learning about mission and then making that decision to be a missionary, because I wouldn't be here today if you didn't courageously choose to make that call and decision to go to the Philippines. And thank you, Tyndale, for your friendship and for inspiring me, a young woman that the world would have discounted, but for inspiring me and encouraging me that I could make a difference in this world. And thank you, Chris, my husband, who is actually a graduate of Tyndale as well, for loving me and teaching me so much. I am forever grateful. And the last thing I can say is that there are many parents here. Don't ever give up on praying for your children and your grandchildren. The power of prayer and the love that you can pour into your children can make a lasting difference as it did mine. Amen.